the ESPN story kind of brings it up, is that that Mark Davis needed money, and Brady gave it to him. And with that money came strings, and the strings are Brady. And, you know, you said it yesterday. It's like, is he going to be, you know, John Lynch, or is he going to be Michael Jordan as a former, you know, or even Elway? Elway was not good, you know, as a GM with the Broncos. Well, he was good in some ways. He couldn't identify quarterback after Peyton, you know, drafted Paxton Lynch. Then he went through all the other guys that they ultimately had. Is he still with that? He stepped away, didn't he? Elway with the Broncos?
Yeah, pretty sure after all those misses of going for the next quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think he's there anymore.
Maybe as a consultant, but that's it.
Yeah. 2022, actually that following the 2020 season, so that was 5 years ago, he stepped down.
Mm-hmm.
So in that time, you know, I do think, again, he signed Peyton Manning. That's great. But he didn't draft well. He didn't draft quarterback.
It was awful.
Yeah. And
who was the other one? It wasn't Paxton. I want to say it started with a B. Tall dude. Yeah.
Brock Osweiler.
There you go.
Yep. That's him. He loved tall quarterbacks.
Didn't work.
And all of them stunk. So Elway didn't work out. Jordan, obviously, who I think he's still the owner of the Charlotte Hornets, right?
No, he sold it.
Oh, he sold it? Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense because now they're better. he was bad.
What about Magic when he was running? Wasn't he technically running the Lakers isn't that more of a...
That was... I don't remember exactly. It wasn't great, though, right?
Not at the end, but my point would be, no, it wasn't great.
Right.
Maybe not as bad as Jordan running it, but not great either.
Yes.
Interesting that you brought up John Lynch.
Yeah, he's doing a good job.
How much of that is him and how much is Shanahan in the system?
I mean, they do draft pretty well, right?
Purdy. You're right. Getting Purdy late and then being able to reset the clock because of that.
Yeah.
That's a pretty masterful move.
Now, you know, Lynch is not Brady.
I was curious that you brought that up.
But he is a former, I mean, he was a Super Bowl champ, two-time All-Pro.
All-timer?
He's a nine-time Pro Bowler. So I'm not sure how he's not a Hall of Famer, but I guess... Oh, he is, yes.
That's what I thought he was. I thought he's already been inducted. Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, you know what? It's not a crazy thing for me to bring him up.
No, that's an issue. I had not considered him in this group when we talked about the Jordans and the Magics and all those guys. Relating it to Tom Brady.
I mean, he's been with the 49ers since, you know, 2017. And obviously they've been to, you know, a couple of Super Bowls since then. Lost to the Chiefs both times. But, I mean, that's an example of...
No, he has. He's done it well.
You know, but... You know, Brady, we'll know. We'll see. You know, he has the aura. That's why Ben Johnson even wanted to interview. He didn't want to interview with the Raiders until Brady was taken over and got some, you know, decision-making. But it remains to be seen, you know, how good he will be as an evaluator. He's not great on the broadcast. That's what everybody tells me. I think he's fine, whatever. But I know it makes me a little uneasy. I'll tell you, like, you know, this is not an executive that's done it his whole life. This is a guy that was great at playing quarterback and maximizing the pieces around him. That does not mean anything in terms of, you know, your ability to run a franchise. So we'll see. But this piece definitely lays it out in black and white that the Raiders are Brady's. Like, that's who's running the thing.
Well, and he's bought it.
Yes. Like. Yes.
He's bought the power. And Mark Davis might be smart to be going this way because ultimately you need to give it over to a football man. Now, whether Brady is truly that in terms of organizationally and can put it together as opposed to just being the face of it and the quarterback for it, it remains to be seen. But Mark Davis, I've always said Dumb and Dumber.
Yep.
You're giving it to a football guy, at least. Someone who certainly knows the game. Again, there are things he's got to prove organizationally in terms of bringing guys in. And you get the money boost.
Yep.
So I don't know that it's a bad move here, but there's no promise that it works, to your point.
Right.
But I don't know that you have a better alternative, you know, needing the cash infusion that you did. Everybody was writing y'all were cash poor.
Yeah.
And then you're giving it to a guy that maybe hopefully can be more of the Lynch. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what they do. You know, we'll see what Brady's aura will bring.
And was he smart to pass on Shedeur Sanders five times?
I mean, they got the number one pick.
Yeah.
I mean, them folks fired Stefanski like they feel like he botched the Shedeur Sanders stuff. So, I don't know. We probably haven't seen enough from Shedeur to make a determination on that.
Right.
That Brady was just wrong not to draft him.
Right.
And you can always find your guy. don't know. Good luck with that, bro.
Thank you so much.
I would say it doesn't work out the majority of the time.
Yeah,
when those old greats try to come back.
Right. No, it doesn't. I mean, there aren't really many examples at all, you know, in the NFL. I mean, there's really not. I mean, it's like you can even take it down to coaching, like former pros getting into coaching. I mean, doesn't really work out that well. I mean, how many former NFL players, like Aaron Glenn's a DB. He played in the NFL as a DB. Like, the Jets they didn't have a single pick all year. The Jets did not have a single interception, and their coach is a former pro cornerback. I mean, that's, you know, so, and I'm just using him as an example, but, like, Ben Johnson didn't play in the NFL. Mike McDonald didn't play in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan didn't play in the NFL. You know, Raheem Morris played in the NFL. He got fired. I mean, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but, you know, it's just tougher. It almost seems like you're too close to it sometimes when you're a former player, especially a great one, that everything is the way you see things is the correct way, and you don't listen to anybody else. And, you know, I think that can get very tough when you're making collaborative personnel decisions. Also, Brady calls games on Fox every week. What in the world? How are you going to run an NFL team and also be a broadcaster?
And they're going to make this exception for Tom Brady.
I guess so, man. I guess the world just can't get enough of Brady.
Shifted the rules for him.
I mean, that's outrageous. A couple other NFL news and notes. Your man, Matt Eberflus, gone.
Yeah, expected that because he's garbage. He's hot garbage. Some people are saying, and there is a lot of truth to it, that but before you made the trade for Quinnen and those guys, well, you didn't have much to work with.
Right.
But, I've known what Eberflus is. Well, he's good for a short time as Indianapolis's defense coordinator, but ever since then he's been awful.
Yep.
Both as a head coach, and that defense was basically just as bad as the Bears.
Right.
This year, and it didn't improve as much as it needed to after making those acquisitions. So I'm fine with that one. The one I'm more surprised by is that the Washington's moving on with Cliff Kingsbury. You talk about what a difference a year makes. Yep. Cliff Kingsbury last year looked pretty darn good, didn't he? Way he brought Jaden Daniels in. We talked about maybe you stick around, you become a hot candidate the next year if you don't like any of these jobs. We were talking about him possibly getting a head coaching job again. Now he's out as the OC in Washington. That one was an eyebrow raiser for me. They thought, you know, Jaden had injury issues this year, but for them to think already that the offensive plan has gone stale just shows you maybe he doesn't sort of, you know, revive the career in terms of the head coaching career in the way that we thought, or that's going to certainly take a little bit longer for Cliff Kingsbury.
Yes.
He gotten back hot last year.
Absolutely.
Now out of a job.
And, man, there's a reason why they call it the not-for-long league, because, I mean, you're on top of the world a year ago, Commanders in the NFC Championship game, beat the Lions, and then it's like,
what? It's a deal where your success, quote success, because a lot of those, let's be real, they won a ton of ball games that were just the Bears won on the Hail Mary alone. But they ride it to their credit. But a lot of it was fluky, that run. And that success puts you up on a pedestal. You come back this year where they're not going to fire Dan Quinn. Somebody's got to answer for the drop-off. And all of a sudden, you become the main target, the guy with the big X on his back.
Absolutely.
And you go from, again, being lauded for the job you've done to now out of a job and having to convince people you're still good.
Yep.
You know, so for Cliff, it's maybe you should have gotten out of there after last season's more too. Strike while the iron's hot.
No doubt.
Because he could have possibly been in there for some of those gigs.
No doubt. So that's the NFL news. We do have some news with the Memphis Grizzlies that I want to get to. Ja Morant has been downgraded. He has been downgraded to doubtful tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. That means he is out, obviously. We know how this works with the Grizzlies. Doubtful. I'm not sure why they don't just rule him out. You know, what's the point of going from questionable to doubtful? Because it never goes back up, right? It doesn't go from doubtful to in with the Grizzlies. It goes from questionable to doubtful to out. Vince Williams, you'll love this news. He has been upgraded to probable.
Thank goodness. So, yeah, I mean, having enough bodies to put out there. So basically you're down eight guys now. It was seven already out, I think.
You're down eight. So, I mean, this is jokes right here. Like the team that the Grizzlies are rolling out tonight against the Spurs is jokes.
My thing is, John, I don't know. Is he healthy enough to go? Does it even matter right now? Because you don't have a hell of a lot out there to fight with anyway.
I mean, Jared's out there. He's $50 million.
My thing is, you've been paid, man.
Yeah.
You know, and unless it's something that's clearly that can get worse and threatens the rest of the year, you got to be out there.
Right. So it'll be.
And that's what this year was supposed to be about, man, playing them all.
Y'all, the problem is, and I watched that 76ers game, and they're in the game, and you can win the game, And then you minute restriction these great players in the middle of the third or the fourth quarter, and you got Small in there as your backup guard, and you're screwed. You cannot. I know your reinforcements are terrible. Look, I'm sorry.
I know that people got frustrated about that game because he took them out for 2 minutes.
That game burned me.
But I will say this. They were up 4 in overtime.
It's fair.
When you're talking about a game that was decided by 3, there's a lot of different things. You can point to those 2 minutes. You can point to other 2 minutes stretches as well when they were out there and they didn't do the job.
I get it.
I mean, so I do think, look.
It's the Isola way, though, John. I mean,
it's compounded.
You're in that third quarter and you grab that eighth guy off the bench, you know, in a high school game that would never happen.
I totally understand the frustration because this has been happening all season long. But, again, we're talking about 2 minutes. You know, we're talking about 2 minutes, and you still had the chance to win the game at the end of regulation, and you didn't, and you were up 4 in overtime. And you, so, I mean, again, it's just like, yeah, lots of chances. And there's no guarantee. We don't know what would happen in that
I got you.
They could have lost that 2 minute span with those guys in.
Speaking as the fan, and probably for a lot of fans, the philosophy of using dudes that aren't as good as the dudes at any point in the game when you have a chance to win, regardless of the close outcome, is the pisser.
Well, it is. I would also say, though, every regular NBA rotation is going to pull their starters with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
That's fine.
Like, that's just a regular. A starter's not going to play the final 7 minutes of a non-playoff game, right? Like,
I hear you.
You're going to take them out at the 7 minute mark, and then you're going to put them back in at the 4 or 5 minute mark. Yeah. I mean, that's, and they close. So, I know that it went really south, and that's why we're, you know, harping on that 2 minute span because they got outscored by whatever it was.
They got destroyed with those dudes.
But, you know, you'll have, the good news is you'll have no substitutions tonight because it's not possible physically. Yeah.
We actually need that, maybe.
So it'll be here are your available players tonight, I presume, for the Grizzlies. Vince Williams, Jalen Wells, Cam Spencer, Javon Small, Jock Landale, Christian Coloco, Jaren, Gigi, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Santi.
It's going to be your 36th game tonight, and this will be his 17th missed.
Mm-hmm.
So basically half the season.
Yeah.
In a year that it was supposed to be about being out there. It's just, I don't know when it gets reliable. I don't know when it becomes something you can build around again. That's my point.
I think
I had high hopes coming in the season that it would. This had to be the year, right? We see Ja in there and we figure out, okay, this is what you got to have around him because now you know what you need.
Right.
Brother. How can you build around something that's not stable?
Well, I mean, I think you're answering your own question.
Well,
you don't.
If the body's not going to hold up.
The problem is nobody's going to take Ja.
Or we're going to be having to, you know, do.
It's sad that this is the way it's gone. It really is. Like, it's kind of tragic with given how.
Supposed to keep waiting? No,
I mean, they're going to have
the
to make
organization.
It. Because his extension will be due. And so someone. He'll
want the money.
I mean, there's going to have to be a decision on him. Sooner or later, you know, this isn't just going to go until the end of the contract. So it does feel like the beginning of the end. Maybe we're
I think that's a fair point. We are there, I think.
We might be at the end of the end.
You're there.
You know, we'll see in a month, I guess.
They didn't do the contract in October.
Absolutely. It wasn't just Mike Wallace. There were multiple people I talked to that thought he was going to get that extension.
It was part about, you know, get new representation. Let's get this done.
Yep. Right.
They did not.
And there's no way the Grizzlies are extending him.
No way.
No, I mean, there's just no, you can't. Mm-mm. He's not playing.
Kleiman basically says it had to be a prove-it year for him, too, is what we need from him. We need him out there. And it's basically been 50% of the time. Like I said, this would be the 17th game missed.
Exactly.
You know, some of it is own, you know, team issued suspensions, those kind of things.
Yep.
It's not just all injury.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's there's going to be a 30 for 30 about it, man. I really believe that, unfortunately. Just the Grizzlies, and just they looked like they were going to be a freaking factor in the West for years to come.
The reason why the 76ers really sticks in the ass of the fans is you have, and I'm not bringing up Maxey just because I love Maxey, but you have a player like Maxey who's 6'2" and plays 45 minutes in an overtime game, just out there playing.
Look,
that dude's reliable.
Yeah,
I mean, so much so that he was able to be one of the guys that could criticize Embiid for lack of, you know, of a professional approach because he's just built differently. I mean, he's part of the breed that you want.
Yeah, but even
the SGA and everything else.
Even Embiid's playing 38 minutes.
Well, that was a season high. But I mean, I would not use Joel Embiid. Now, in fairness to Joel Embiid, he's 31 and he's 280 pounds.
So he's heavy.
So he's, but yeah, I mean, he played, 38 minutes.
Did he play 40 in that game?
38.
Okay.
And he played 40 last night against the Nuggets. Yeah. I mean,
did they win that game last night?
They lost.
Okay. So they probably wanted it then.
Has he played more games than Ja this year?
He's Ja's played 18.
Okay, he's played 16.
Yeah. So like they're taking turns.
That's you're in the conversation with Joel Embiid.
But we're what, 26?
26.
Come on, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's
This is supposed to be the year that this was done.
Right.
Said his thing was takeoff year with Nike.
That's right.
And we ain't taking off.
It's tough, bro.
And you got a shoe and everything else. Everything built for you.
Yeah.
Just can't stay out there. When can you ever be able to rely on?
Well, and who knows? Who knows if it's even injury? I mean, I'm not trying to say, I'm not trying to accuse anybody, but there's definitely been a disconnect with the staff. I mean,
for sure.
Could be one of those things where I could go, but I don't really.
But
like,
they don't got anything out there for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If a cultural leader you need is gonna say,
absolutely.
Even if I'm going down, I'm going to be out there to set the example, right?
100%. So if Cedric Coward was allowed to play, we know he would be out there.
Yep.
Like, we just know that about him. That's who he is.
He's so good.
Wimby is out there. Wimby doesn't have to play against the Grizzlies, bro. They're going to dog walk the Grizzlies, but he probably wants to play because that's what he wants. I'm not trying to accuse John. Maybe he does want to play, and it's an organizational thing. Maybe they're like, hey, we have 8 available players.
Jaren did it last year and got paid.
Yeah, and that.
Or we can't rule out either based on what we've seen while he might not be saying it publicly, he's already got a foot out.
That too.
That maybe because he doesn't feel he doesn't have his contract extension like at one point he hoped to get.
I mean, he's feeling
a certain
pretty disengaged
feeling
the
a certain
entire
kind
year.
Of way. There've been times where he's looked like he's in, but come on,
preserve
second half of the Lakers game.
Yep,
obviously,
Yeah, to be suspended for that.
I mean,
the way he responded to the calling out of that.
Ja has had this attitude all year long where he's just been. It feels like brooding. Like, he's just been brooding all year long where he just feels like it's like what he plays like. Woe is me. The joy that man used to have as a rookie is completely gone.
Yeah.
Now it's just like he's got a horrible attitude. The body language is terrible. He looks like he's just brooding and steaming about the organization and the circumstances, whatever they may be. And it's just, quite frankly, it's impossible to watch.
It's fair.
When you go,
it's impossible to work with,
and probably that too.
Yep.
I mean, if we're being real and. You look up his plus minus most nights, he's in the minus now. Yeah. He's not elevating, and again, I'm not saying the roster's perfect. I'm not.
No, it's clearly not.
But you're either an elevator and a riser or you're not. You're either a guy who lifts. Like, I saw that against the Lakers with Cedric Howard. That folks had every reason to lay down against the Lakers.
Yeah, man.
They had nobody good out there, just like tonight. But they were up by 15 in the first half at one point. Because Cedric Howard said, I'm going to come out here and I'm going to lift this team. And he did. He had 16 and 8.
Well, Ja used to be like that.
That's a decision. That's a decision when you have that kind of talent.
Like that when he's young.
And I'll say this. I think it's contagious both ways.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? If you come in and you're sulking and you can't believe what has happened to me and what used to be is no longer, and it rubs off, right? Like, it rubs off. But if you come in and you're like, yo, this is a big opportunity for us tonight. Spurs got us twice. I'm going to be out there. Let's go. That rubs off too. It's all.
Well, that Tuesday night game was a national TV game. So everybody's geeked up for it. You got, the kid from NBC calling the game. All the bells and whistles are there.
In fairness to Ja, he was great.
I mean, that
he was fantastic.
That
was a great Ja Morant game.
It was.
I mean, him and Joel Embiid were going tit for tat. I mean, what did Ja have, like 30?
30. It was his best game of the year.
Yeah. And then he had
maybe 30. He might have had mid-30s even. Yeah.
Here's the problem with Ja, man. He's just too up and down at this point in his career, emotionally, you know?
That's fair.
Like, he's mercurial. And it's like, at some point, man, you just have to. We built around you this year. We made that decision. We said, Bane's gone. We got swept in the playoffs.
Yep.
This is now, better or worse, this is your team. And the Grizzlies were not rewarded for that decision. They just weren't. And, I'm sure they're going to try to find an off-ramp. I don't know this, but I'm assuming They're going to try to find an off ramp unless this changes magically somehow. And I don't know what that looks like, you know, or when it happens, but I don't know. It just doesn't feel like these two are long for each other anymore. Is that crazy?
Kind of crazy to think that you might get there at some point. I know Atlanta seemingly has already reached that point with Trae Young. Think about it, man, and I've long held Ja way above Trae Young just in terms of when Ja is at his best, he makes his team better. Will you question that with Trae? Trae's got the run to the conference finals. He's also got availability. I know not this year, but if you compare careers and him being – he's actually out there.
Yep.
They're both pretty much, although we've given Ja a little bit of a pat on the butt for an improved effort defensively, they're both pretty much minuses. And Trae ain't shooting, what, 15, 17%? I haven't checked Ja's three-point percentage lately, but it hadn't been worth checking because of where it is. So I needed this year to be the stable year if I'm going to keep being able to make the case that Ja Morant is better than a Trae Young and the kind of guy that you have to build around. That's what it's been, we've lived by that he is that sort of dude, and so you have to wait this out till he gets right and you put the right things around him. But he continues to feed into this narrative by not being out there, that he's not going to be available, he's not going to be reliable, and we've gotten another half year out of it here to start. It's incredibly frustrating because it felt like there was so much in terms of Ja, what he represented, what it could mean in Memphis, Tennessee. But, yeah, man, I certainly don't rule out anymore. In fact, I think we might be approaching likely that what you're talking about, off-ramp.
Yep.
Because how can you build when it's this fickle?
You can't.
Both emotionally and on the court.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. And at some point, everything runs its course.
Oh, love the man to death.
Yeah. It's not an anti-Ja thing. It's just like we're all watching the same games, right? Like we're all watching this all play out. You go from questionable to doubtful in an important game. You know, again, you're trying to avoid losing three straight to the Spurs.
And the tough thing I think for fans is that you do run the risk, and it's just because it's like business. Sometimes you're better off when that person leaves. Their next stop, probably they're going to do okay. Maybe
it happens.
Environmental shift.
One of the big arguments about keeping him, and of course, because you may never get anything that's box office like this again. But the issue is he ain't out there to be box office half the time. So that's how you can't build an organization around that.
That's facts.
And frankly, I needed him to write a different story this year. I keep going back to sort of the Tim McMahons that have been saying this guy, you know, he's just average. That's what Ja stands for. And you're feeding into more of that with the year that you've had so far. When do you want to break out of that? So that's what I'm saying. If it's not organizational, John, and saying, well, we just don't need you tonight, man. Go ahead and sit down. If this is Ja having a chance, even if it looks bad, that's where you have to be that leader. And that's where you show the organization, I want to be that guy. And we're not seeing it's incredibly frustrating. But
yes.
The best thing for them may be eventually to move on. I don't know. Zach Edey was magical, almost. I mean, I would almost say that literally because he changed the face of what you looked like. Defensively, you were number two in the league when he was out there. And, all you know, Ja Morant, if he's got Zach Edey, then he's got space offensively. And maybe that is a magic fix, but it's looking less and less like. Heck, just having Edey on the floor is its own issue itself. Forget having both, so.
Right.
Man, at some point, if you're just hitting your head against the wall, you know the deal.
Yep, exactly. All right, we'll come back. Frank Byers going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the latest with Memphis football, what's going on with Charles Huff, transfer portal, and more. Stick around. J&J, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Frank Byers covers the Memphis football program for the Daily Memphian, joins us throughout the regular season of the football season, and he is here with us today. We're outside, obviously, the regular season, but Charles Huff is still – very busy, which means you're busy as well. What's going on, dog?
Doing all right. Y'all enjoy the holidays?
Holidays were cool. Holidays were great.
Yeah, got a chance to see you during the break. You and your lovely wife.
Yeah.
I must tell Memphis, it was an absolute pleasure to meet your wife. What a beautiful couple you guys are together.
Appreciate it.
Danita, beautiful woman.
Yes,
and man,
she
fit right into our group immediately. And that time we were at Laughlin Yard at a good time playing a music trivia bingo or music bingo. Kevin Cerrito put on saying, host, good time with y'all.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. Got to meet your family and everything.
Yeah, man, little Chris came down.
Yeah.
Chris is always there, you know. Chris is like, you know, he's part of the.
He was playing cornhole the whole time. He wasn't involved as much in the music bingo that they do such a good job with, Cerrito and company. But, yeah, cornhole. Laughlin Yard, a cool little spot, though. That is a nice open-air spot down there, and the food was fantastic.
Yes.
But, man, just wanted to say enjoyed y'all's company.
Well, I enjoyed hearing about it. I'll tell you that right here, right now.
Russ, I need to hang out with Frank more often. I need to hang out with this kind of crowd right here. Now, come to find out, though, you're only 32 years old. I sense old soul from you.
Very
but
much
to hear
so.
That you're just 32?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I get that a lot.
Do folks tell you that?
They've okay, been so telling me that since high school.
Told you. So. Then, yeah, this ain't just me. This is real deal.
Yep.
Yeah. It's fun hanging out with you, man.
Man, well, I'm glad y'all had a good time, man. Was Charles Huff there?
He was busy. He was busy doing his thing, waiting, you know, for the
What was he doing exactly? Because I'm waiting on that portal news, all right? Where is it at? Where's my portal news at?
I mean, I've dived into more Southern Miss players than I expected. I'll say that.
So, okay, they have how many commits? They have one just right now? How many commits they have right now in the portal?
They have 15.
I have 15, okay.
13 of them are from Southern Miss.
Got it. Okay.
Wow. Okay, yeah.
I just saw the most recent, like the receiver committed from Southern Miss. Chapman.
Yeah, so Chapman was their first one.
Okay, gotcha.
And then they've just been reeling off since then. But they've all been Southern Miss. They've got the FCS All-American from Wofford, the DB from Wofford.
Yep.
And they've got an offensive lineman from Arkansas State. And then the rest are Southern Miss guys.
Got it. And unfortunately, not the Southern Miss.
Not Chris Jones.
Right.
I mean, but he went to, you know, he committed to Ole Miss. Trying to compete against Ole Miss is tough. But I will say that.
Oh, Ole Miss wants him?
Yeah, you're going to have to get.
That's going to be tough.
You're going to have to get some players that the Power Conference schools are trying to go after. I mean, Memphis has been able to do that previous years or whatever. So, you know, we'll see what that looks like. You know, a lot of the guys they got from Southern Miss, a lot of them are young guys, like just finished their freshman year or whatever. So to me, that looks like building. Some of those are building block pieces, I would say, you know, considering that some of those guys are so young. And then they got some other guys
right.
like the linebacker. Who had like 105 tackles last year. He was like a third. He was third team all conference.
Right.
Mike Montgomery. I was whiffing on his name.
Yep.
And you know, they've got a couple of older guys, but a lot of them are young guys.
And then at quarterback, Jones, Colton Joseph is off the board, correct?
Yes, he's in Wisconsin.
And so, in turn, I just wonder, because you'd hoped maybe with the OC coming over that you could have grabbed him. I wonder now, we know that A.J. Hill's going off to Arkansas, if Arrington Maiden, if you might take another look, or if you still think Huff's going to have his own plan and there's a very low likelihood that any of the Tiger quarterbacks, Arrington Maiden would be the only one at this point, would be back.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the transfer portal, you can't take any of that off the table. But I wonder, I know some names that have been thrown out there is the Marcus Stokes, the quarterback from Arkansas State. Are they going to be able to get those? But once again, it
the
looks
starter
like they,
from Arkansas State,
Rayner.
Yeah. Jalen Rayner.
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it Maynor? One of the two.
Rayner. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
You know, are they in the mix with Memphis? I know there's some. They're going to have power conference interest. I mean, that's the thing when you're trying to get like a quarterback, a good one out of the portal, is they're going to have power conference interest from somewhere. Can you still get them to come to the American? And that's going to be the tough part.
Yeah, you're going to have to, you know, it feels like overpay as always.
Everybody's overpaying now. I mean, who's not true. Overpaying?
Right.
But like, it's got, like if Chris Jones is getting Ole Miss offer, she's going Ole Miss. I mean, that's
well. And I might be mistaken. I saw somebody that he may have already committed.
Oh, he might already be on the way.
Oh, that yeah. I thought that's what you had
say,
said.
Yeah,
he's off the board.
I'm
already.
Sure
super
that he, I'm pretty sure that
yes.
he committed
okay, he
to
did
Ole Miss
yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, super disappointing.
So like,
yeah, because those were guys
he didn't even have a visit to Memphis lined up. He was going to visit Kansas State and Florida State.
Yeah. So. When you
man, a lot of these dudes getting beamed up.
Yeah,
that power four it just takes you.
I feel like there was one other linebacker they had though. That was like their second.
He mentioned the 100 tackle guy that is in.
Yeah, they got him, Mike Montgomery.
Okay, they did.
Yeah,
get him,
he was 105 right,
so,
tackles.
You know, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
6'4", 250. You had it down over your story at DailyMemphis.com.
This is impossible to keep up with.
It's crazy, man. Like it's.
Like these guys are committing, and I'm like, it's just like it's just going back.
Yeah, we're starting completely over.
Yeah,
in this new world.
Yeah, even when you're updating a tracker, like I can't update it every 5 minutes, right? So I update it in the morning, and I'll do like a late afternoon update because I mean the Southern Miss guys, like you know, for the first couple of days, Memphis didn't have anybody, and then Chapman committed, and then they just started reeling in, you know, constantly announcing the signings and so on. And but I, you know, to the point that we just made, I'm waiting to see some more guys that are not Southern Miss to see what type of.
Now, I mean, you did expect that to be the bulk.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, just because that would make sense.
Yeah,
you know, you built. That's what he did at Marshall. He took the Marshall guys to the Southern Miss. He's gonna take the Southern Miss to. He's very loyal. It seems like he's basically the staff is all the same, if save for the OC who got the head job at Southern Miss.
Yeah, I think there's like at least from my count, there's at least seven on staff that are from Southern Miss.
And I was impressed. He got a couple Power Four coaches.
He got the offensive the O line coach who coached at
Andy Kwan
UCLA,
and then he got a DB coach from Oklahoma State, I think, or it was some position, I believe. It was reported at least.
I mean. I'm whiffing on it, but
yeah, I mean that's like he's done it. He's done a pretty good job of.
Colorado. He got
Colorado.
Who's also got ties here.
Yeah.
Yeah, for GM or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's been pretty impressive in terms of you know the guys he's gotten.
Right. He's got a. And we talked about him when he got hired in terms of his ability to recruit. So I mean, you got to trust that he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it in the past, and so. You know, time will tell in terms of the roster that actually gets put to place. But when you lost, Memphis lost so many guys just on graduation alone.
Right.
And then you lose another bulk of guys through the transfer portal. And so the roster is open enough to where you can bring as many guys from Southern Miss as you want and then still go get other guys in the portal just because you have to retool so much. And so the Southern Miss guys allows you to do that more rapidly because they already know you. You already know them. You know what you like out of them. You coach them for a whole year, so there's all that going on.
Hard to judge so early, but how's South Florida doing early on in this process? Have we seen a lot of highly regarded guys, and you know, in terms of Hartline and what the start that he's off to at South Florida, considering them your sort of rival in terms of investment and everything else?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't dived into who their headliners are.
I was kind of looking at some big. I hadn't seen any major stuff, but I'm not trying to. Convince myself that you're right there with them. Or I mean, we know their investment level and where I think the roster was between 8 and 10 million last year. But I mean, that's your main comp, right? That's who you're. That's your peer. That's who you're comparing the job that you're doing to. Would it not
be especially financially? Yeah. Like that's your main comp financially. And then obviously, you want to keep tabs on what a Tulane is doing. Although to be honest with you, I don't know if Tulane's hire.
I know.
I don't know.
One was disappointing after what they've done the last couple of hires.
So we'll
feels
see.
Like.
We'll see how much in the mix they are in terms of competition in the conference in 2026. But, you know, those two schools are who you're kind of trying to chase.
Yeah, I was talking about Tim Duffy. It's Adam Rittenberg reported on the 1st that Memphis is hiring Tim Duffy as cornerbacks coach. But don't they have Bowman?
So Memphis has done this before where you have you have like a DB slash safeties coach, and you have a cornerbacks coach.
Okay.
I think he's on my list of announcements.
Yeah, he was
so many of them. I can't remember.
He's the Oklahoma State guy I was talking about.
Yeah.
He was at Oklahoma State there since 2013. So that's another. They hired a guy from Cincinnati, special teams coach. They hired Duffy,
mm-hmm.
GM from Colorado, and then Kwan from UCLA.
So
that's
got
a lot of powerful influence.
His
there.
Staff is when you know, and so on, and so. But like to your point. Even the last, you know, the last coaching staff had DB coach and, you know, Jay Simpson was cornerbacks coach. So Memphis has done that pretty frequently to have that many DB coaches.
What impressed you most about y'all, and I'm talking about Indiana's handling of Alabama?
Man, I told you, I'm not going to lie. I was worried about the brand, just the Alabama being Alabama.
Right.
I just think that. Indiana is so balanced in how they can win. I think like they're not a one-trick pony in terms of like if you do this against them or if you stop this, this is the key to success.
No, it's crazy how complete they are.
Yeah, right. And so when you have a team that's that complete, because I saw some of the pregame commentary and people saying Alabama was a more talented team roster-wise and so on, but the entire team together – they're so balanced that it's hard to find the chink in the armor. And so I think that's what impressed me the most outside of just how dominant the score was. But when you're that well-rounded, which is a lot different than last year, you're tough to beat.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how Dan Lanning's going to do it.
Yeah, it's a great story for you guys though, and he doesn't want to go anywhere.
Yeah, I gotta go buy the when they won the conference championship, mm-hmm. I was trying to get people to go get me a paper so I could frame it back at home, and they were all gone. The people who was trying to get one on their way to work couldn't get me one. But the Indy Star is selling a some type of booklet or whatever. I'm gonna have to get it.
John sold on Mendoza as his quarterback with the Raiders taking him number one. Is that the guy to take?
Okay,
you've been watching him all year long.
Play wise, yes, I think so. I wonder can he? And I love his personality. I think he's
me too.
He's a great young man.
It's fun to listen to.
It's fun to listen to.
Refreshing, I think, in a way.
Can that lead a NFL locker room is my only question. My question is not about him on the field, and winning cures all. So
that's what I was gonna say. I mean, it will only if he wins, it will. If he doesn't, yeah. It won't.
Right. I mean, like, if you're losing, that type of personality.
You could be the coolest guy in the world. Doesn't matter if you're losing. Like you're not gonna have command of a locker room.
Right.
That's just the way it goes. I think, you know, if he shows that he comes, like, if that attitude delivers this team to salvation, yes, they will.
They'll get behind.
Or he's a jolly good fellow, his ass.
I mean, people did it with Kirk Cousins.
People did it with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, but Caleb Williams' personality is a little different.
Yeah, a little
Kirk Cousins
flamboyant.
Is a good comparison, because I would say sort of cornball status.
Yeah,
That a locker room did get behind, will still get behind. That's actually Kirk Cousins. Now, he's not going to be as prolific.
But just
the makeup in terms of leadership. The style of leadership. Yeah. I think is there a better comp than Kirk Cousins in terms of like cornballishness, right? But you're still, maybe we think can still lead a NFL locker room?
And it's cornball that everybody loves, too. Right? It's not like it's, you know.
Right.
It's,
yeah, no. Yeah. Like I said, it's refreshing. His leadership style, I appreciate. Especially the dudes out there, you know, sometimes, man. I don't know. Maybe if it sounds a little funnier coming out, but you're backing it up, then I'll take that all day, you know, all day, every day, as opposed to the guy who's cooler doing it, right. But ain't out there, Ja Morant. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
Sam Darnold? What's, Bo Nix? What's either of those guys? That we wouldn't say either of those guys are cool. We wouldn't say those guys are like, they have swag.
No, I'm not saying have to be.
This one's only throwing for 200 yards is what I'm saying. We might be talking about an uncool game manager. Well, that would be my thing.
That's what Cam Newton loves
enough?
To say. He loves to say everybody's a game manager these days. I don't know. I mean, if you can manage me to a win, I don't give a damn how you play.
Right. And so, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like John said, you're going to be the coolest guy in the locker room if you can get to 9, 10 wins or whatever.
If you are starting your NFL franchise, you're taking Mendoza over Dante Moore?
I'm biased, obviously.
I mean, we'll decide it on the field on
yeah,
Friday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But to the point, you can't decide. If you're in the draft, you got to pick. You're on the clock. Who do you grab?
You're not taking Dante Moore over Mendoza.
Hold on, the man hesitated.
I think it's close. I'm going to give the nod to Mendoza.
To the winner.
But I think you can make a case for Dante Moore, but I would choose Mendoza. And I'm not just saying that because he wears an IU jersey, but
I think you just
feel
go,
Dante
I,
higher ceiling.
I think you That's just go with the guy that has the Heisman, that has the wins, that has the, you know, the accomplishments and the achievement. Like for what the Raiders need right now, they need somebody like they need a face. Dante Moore feels like a project. Like he could be great. He could be better than Mendoza, but he's gonna need to get good coaching. He's gonna need to get all the he needs that, I feel like. Whereas I'm talking myself into this, Mendoza is coming with that at least. You know, and maybe he doesn't have the tools. Mm-hmm. Like Moore has, but he does have the here and now, which they need desperately.
And these higher ceiling conversations, when we're talking about players, it really happens in college, in basketball, in terms of college ball, looking at prospects in the NBA. These higher ceiling is really talking about potential, and potential isn't always proven.
No, it's not.
And so, you know, yeah, he may have a higher ceiling for potential, but is that potential going to be reached by the time he's in year three, year four? It might, but it might not. I think when they're this close, you go to the guy with the higher floor, and I think the higher floor is Mendoza.
Yeah. Right. Because I think what you would argue, what works against Dante Moore is the fact that he's only got 19 career starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just has a limited a more limited sample size. Again, that does not mean that Mendoza will have the better career. But I think if you have the number one pick, you go with the surest thing.
But there are more now of the athletic guys in this league than there are the Goffs and the pocket passers. And Mendoza, while he can move, is not somebody that's extra athletic. I mean, he will get blasted on the sideline kind of running the way he does just because he's not fast or anything. And so I would just – there are more sort of the Dante Moores in the league now, it feels like, than there are the Mendozas, who I feel like would have to be kind of like that pocket guy, game manager. He ain't running around. He's going to get blasted if he does.
Yeah,
you'd agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Be more the golf and the pocket guy than he'd be the other, what we're seeing more of in this league, right? That would run around by time.
Yeah, the style of play leads to Dante Moore. But at the end of the day, these are decisions that can get people fired.
Well, and if it's Tom Brady making the decision, he was one of those things.
Yeah.
He was more the pocket guy, got it done. Maybe he'd say, okay, I can with Mendoza.
Right. Brady was not, I know time like helps us forget. Brady himself was not this tool quarterback. Like, he was an extremely accurate passer. But when you think about Brady, I think about a guy who just lifted via leadership at the end of the day. Like, yes, he made throws, but like, he was a guy who was a leader. And he demanded things from people. And he said, this is the standard, damn it. And if you don't meet it, get the hell out. Whether that's Deion Branch or Edelman or whatever. And yes, obviously he was a great quarterback, great thrower.
Yeah.
But the reason he fell to the whatever it was because he wasn't an overwhelming athlete and he wasn't a tool guy.
To your point, he wasn't. People didn't look at Tom Brady and seeing him what people saw in a Patrick Mahomes and what he had in his bag,
or
Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning.
I mean, there was levels to it.
But at the end of the day, he was a winner.
Right.
In the key moments, you know, he was going to make the throw. And I think Mendoza has shown that in the key moments, he can make the throw. Whether
he is. He's a gamer, man.
Or whatever.
He's a gamer.
I compared him to Jalen Hurts in terms of that. Like, doesn't have the overwhelming arm talent, never going to be accused of being an unbelievable passer, but is a winner and lifts and leads. That's, you know, that's where I kind of feel like he's, again, Jalen Hurts is a cool guy. Like, he has all
and
the
way
quotes.
More athletic. I mean,
I was going to say,
he does right now. He runs.
Come on.
And yeah. I think
in terms of the spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, not 100% the same in terms of the game, but just spiritually.
I'll say, I mean, I'm excited for him. I'm excited whether he goes number one or you already called him a Raider.
The pick, man.
He's a Raider, bro. I'm telling you right now, he's a Raider.
I'll be.
Not saying that it's going to end up being the right pick. It will be the pick. They're not going to pass on the guy that won the Heisman, that won the Big Ten Player of the Year, that may win the college football playoff, favored to beat the Oregon Ducks this weekend.
And now, I mean, you know, since we're talking about IU and Cignetti, I mean, they've got Hoover on the way now.
They got Hoover on the way, dude. They're rolling. And they got Turbo Dick.
Yeah, he's...
Turbo Richard.
When you're still playing, when you're still competing in the playoff and to be able to do what they did in the Portland.
Amazing.
The calendar's got to change. The calendar
stinks. The calendar is awful.
It's horrible, even with the bowl games and how it's in the middle of the playoff.
But it hasn't slowed down Indiana, has it?
No, I mean, they're rolling. When you got a Kirk Cignetti that...
I think it kind of helps the team that's still playing in the Final Four when you're recruiting. Like, hey, turn on TV on Friday night. We'll
got
be there.
To,
yeah. Yeah, and by the way, that guy who's playing, he's going to be gone, so we need somebody to play.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it can make it easy. It's when you get eliminated, you know, and you're the loser that it hurts. All right, we'll wrap this up. Frank, thanks for being in here as always.
Pleasure, brother.
No problem.
Yes, sir. Go Hoosiers.
Yeah.
Is there like a chant?
Hoosiers?
Hoosiers?
You're supposed to know that, Mr. College Basketball Man.
I don't do the chants, man.
I mean, you know, I don't do the chants, but since you asked me, I think I could, you know.
You kind of sounded a little subdued there. Hopefully by Friday night, you'll have a little bit more.
Mendoza.
Yeah.
Well, when I'm not on the radio and I'm at home, it's totally different.
Exactly. All right, thanks for coming in. We'll come back, wrap this up. J&J, 90 FM, ESPN. All right, we're back. J&J, 90 FM, ESPN. I'm excited to get down to the Forum tonight. See what's going on. Check on these Grizzlies and the Spurs. So I'll have a full report for you tomorrow.
Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Hopefully Vince and the guys that are remaining play well. Good luck.
We'll need it.
Enjoy Wimby.
Yes, sir. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Frank Bonner for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jessica Benson for hopping on as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.